Welcome to episode 49 of the Borussia Dortmund Fan Club London podcast. Today, an episode with a special guest who is currently playing as centre-back at Bristol City, but is also Switzerland international. So time flies when you're having fun, and it's going to be great fun today with Tim Klose. How are you, Tim?
Thank you. I'm very good. Currently in Austria, in the training camp, and just working hard to get back in shape.
Yeah, I can well imagine that, and I've seen some footage from where you are. So a little bit about you. You've played 350 matches so far at professional levels, scoring 25 goals, which so you worked your way up through the BSC Old Boys. It's a Basel-based club, isn't it, between 93 and 2007?
Yes, exactly. I went through the whole youth there and then went to Basel afterwards.
And then in 2009, you signed a professional contract with FC Thun, which is not a club I know well, although they have played European football. They played Stoke City about 10 years ago, I recall. And then you moved over to Erste FC Nürnberg, Der Club, one of the most famous German teams, who've won 9 Meisterschaften, so actually one more than BVB, which is something that a lot of English fans don't think about. They play at the Max Morlock Stadium, of course. Max Morlock was one of those guys who brought them many of those championships back in the 1950s, a legend of German football. As I recall, you're a fan of Eintracht Frankfurt and also of FC Basel as well. Isn't that
exactly
right?
Yes, that's right. That's correct.
And of course, after that, you moved to VfL Wolfsburg. And we're going to talk about the DFB Pokal final, because you actually played against BVB in that heartbreaking game, which is Jürgen Klopp's last game with BVB. And then, of course, everybody in the UK, if any fans, especially here in East Anglia, where I'm based, will know that you were 5 years with Norwich City, the Canaries at Carrow Road, which is pretty cool in itself, given that I'm currently based in Norwich. It's nice to have a Norwich City player. And I guess 5 years, you must identify with the club quite a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I had a great time in Norwich. And when I look back, I can, you know, see loads of great memories.
That's really cool. And currently, you've signed a contract. You've just renewed your contract with Bristol City, who are known as the Robins, who play their football at Ashton Gate Stadium, in fact, since 1904. They have a very fierce rivalry with the other club in Bristol called the Rovers, Bristol Rovers. Have you actually played in a derby yet against the Rovers?
Not yet, no. Unfortunately, I think they're a league below as well. So
spot on. You've showed me up again. They are indeed. They're in League One, where Portsmouth play, which is a club that I've been following a lot over the years as I studied at Portsmouth University. Thank you and welcome to the show, Tim Klose. So let's talk about your career. So how did it come about, basically? How did Tim Klose end up as a professional football player? I mean, essentially, you're half German and half Swiss. Was a football career always on the cards for you? Was it always something which you wanted to do? Because I heard that you had considered becoming an architect at one point. Is it true?
Yeah, I mean, I ran through the school. It was pretty, you know, football was a side thing for me. I never wanted to become a football player, actually. And then the older I got, the closer I got to professional football. And then I asked my father if it's okay if I try a year where I wanted to sign a contract and try if I can get into the professional football. He said, if you finish school, you can do that. So I finished school. And afterwards, I just I told myself, I'm going to try out for 1 year, and if it works out, it works out. If not, I'm going to leave it. And luckily enough, it worked out very, very well. So yeah, here I am.
That's pretty cool. So you actually got to do the Abitur or A-levels, basically pre-university. So you're essentially you're primed to, you could go to university and study architecture anytime in the future.
I could do that.
That's great. And essentially, tell me a little bit about Old Boys Basel. They have some really cool names in Switzerland of some of the football clubs. There's Old Boys, there's Young Boys, there's Grasshoppers. Some of the names are really cool. And actually, you may find it hard to believe, but I was actually at the game when FCZ, the Zurich club, won the title against FC Lausanne just a few weeks ago. It was really cool, actually. I really enjoyed my visit to Swiss football.
Yeah, so. I mean, Swiss football is okay. The problem is the recognition of the outside world, the rest of the football world, is not as big as it used to be. But I think we still produce quite a good amount of talent in our league. But yeah, obviously with the money shift and the Corona situation, it has, clubs are struggling at the moment with the financial situation, and that's why we shifted a little bit from what we could be as a league to we're more like a league who depend on like foreign leagues who buy the player off our teams to survive, actually.
Very interesting. And Old Boys Basel, is it a club which has a lot of tradition in Switzerland?
Well, it's one, I think it's the biggest club in Switzerland, as I recall. I think we have the most teams in a club. They were quite good when that was a while ago, actually. And we always tried to, well, the club always tried to push back into the highest divisions, but unfortunately, it didn't work out. So, and again, the financial situation after the Corona or during Corona was did hit them very hard. So, yeah, they were fighting as well, as did many clubs back home. And now they are just like somewhere in third or fourth division, I think, and trying to find their way back.
That's really very insightful. So after Old Boys, you ended up moving to FC Basel. And it's pretty interesting because, if I'm not mistaken, you had Thorsten Fink as your coach. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. That was my first time in a professional environment. And then when I arrived in the first team, Christian Gross was my first manager.
Very
and
well
then he
place.
Yes, and then he got sacked, and then Thorsten Fink followed him. Followed after him, and then yeah, he was my manager basically for, I don't know, a pre-season and a bit, and then he told me that it would be hard for me to play in the first team, so if I could find another solution, that would be great. And then I was lucky that Murat Yakin, who is currently the Swiss national manager, was in Thun, and then he asked me if I want to join them. And yeah, it was great. It was a great decision by me or by myself, and just to go and play in the second division first. And then from there on, I just tried to play every game. We got promoted the first year. Second year, we got into I think, fourth or fifth place, which meant like direct qualification for the Europa League. So yeah, it was a good time at Thun, definitely.
That's pretty cool. Essentially from there on, you moved to Erste FC Nürnberg, their club, and you were playing down there with some guys who are very well known to Borussia Dortmund fans, like İlkay Gündoğan and Julian Schieber. And of course, your coach was Dieter Hecking, who's definitely one of the most successful coaches. First of all, İlkay Gündoğan, good guy?
Yeah, very friendly guy. When I arrived, he was on the verge of signing for Borussia. And I remember he was a bit overweight, and the club was not very happy about it because, he got, I think even when he went to Dortmund afterwards, he got injured quite fast. And then they blamed Nürnberg for it, I think. It was a funny situation, but very friendly guy, yes, and a great football player.
Pretty cool, pretty cool. And what was very impressive was that their club managed to finish sixth in the 2010-2011 league. Yeah, what do you put that success down to? Of course, Dieter Hecking went on to great things, and indeed you have something of a long-term working relationship with him because he moved then to Vater Wolfsburg. Der Klub finishing in sixth place, absolutely incredible. Now, what was the magic of the 2010-2011 season, in your opinion?
I don't know. I think the team spirit was really great. We did not have the best football players, but on the pitch, we were very, very nasty. Well, it was always ugly to play against us, and then you felt it as soon as you were on the pitch. Everyone dug in, and we had a great team spirit on the pitch. And yeah, it was a great season, and I was happy that I was able to bring in some good performances as well to help the team and the club to do well. And yeah, I'm happy with the time I had in Nuremberg because it gave me the opportunity to push for more. And then obviously with Dieter Hecking moving to Wolfsburg, I then followed him 6 months afterwards. Something I couldn't miss because I had a great relationship with him, and he was some sort of a dad to me in football. It was a great decision.
So talking about VfL Wolfsburg, a lot of German fans deride the Wolfsburg and often say it's just Volkswagen, the Volkswagen FC. The Wolfsburg, I mean, certainly English fans admire them because they hired Steve McLaren, the English coach, and it's always good to see English coaches working over there. You don't see very many, to be frank. Give me a little flavor of Wolfsburg as a football club. I mean, it's certainly a club which is always up there. They have some really cool green and white shirts. They're always up there. They're always doing pretty well in the top sort of 10, maybe sometimes even quite often in the top 5 of the league and so on. What does it feel like as the club? Of course, I want to get on to talking about the 2015 Pokalfinale and your great friendship with the outstanding Kevin De Bruyne. But let's just talk a little bit about VfL Wolfsburg first as a football club.
As you said, I mean, the football club is surviving thanks to VW. Obviously, it's the main sponsor, and the stadium is right next to their factory. So we were basically the amusement for the workers there, which is a good thing because the city lives from the whole VW factory producing cars, and even the owner was a great football fan, so he did spend some more money on football as well. And you felt it when I arrived, you felt that there was a new wind going around, and the facility was great, the training ground was amazing, and even for the women football, I mean, what they set up for them as well was fantastic. So I think Wolfsburg as a club is a great place to go and evolve or, make your next step or whatever you want to do, because they have everything. They're very professional. They work. Their working environment is great. So I liked it there. Although the city isn't the best, I would say, but I mean, you can drive to Hamburg, you can drive to Berlin. So you will have those days off and you will have the chance to see different cities. But yeah, Wolfsburg as a football club and a city that works together with the VW, that whole spirit was really good. And you felt it, obviously.
It's impressive to hear that. Of course, we couldn't get around as a BVB podcast about talking about the 2015 Pokalfinale, which was really heartbreaking. Actually, the London fan club of BVB, we organized a party at a pub. And about 200 people came to it, which is pretty impressive.
Now time for a short announcement. If you love Borussia Dortmund, why not join us for a live game and have a couple of Dortmund Union beers at the Stammtisch meetup of the official Borussia Dortmund fan club in London? We meet on match days at the Fitzroy Wine Cellar on Cleveland Street. For more details, head to our Facebook page or give us a call on 07459-394-121. And now back to the show.
As usual, a club or team started, well, the Dortmund started very fast. They went up 1-0 in the first 10 minutes, I think. And then afterwards, we had just a great reaction. Obviously, Kevin scored a goal. I think Gustavo Ronaldo scored the goal as well. Perisic, I can't remember. And then Bas Dost. So I think the game was done after the first half. And then, we came into the changing room afterwards at halftime and said, like, listen, guys, it's 3-1. We just need to manage the game now. Don't concede for the next 15 minutes and then that should be it. We managed to do that and, yeah, the rest was history.
Dortmund were having a really, really bad season that year. I remember at Christmas time, we were actually bottom of the league. Which, you know, given that it was Jurgen Klopp, was an astonishing place to be in, basically. And you've mentioned some absolutely stunning players there, Bas Dost, Ivan Perisic, Kevin De Bruyne. Bas Dost has been on the radar of Dortmund in the past, and Ivan Perisic played with BVB for a few years, is now with Inter Milan, won the title, didn't win the title, missed out on the title with Inter Milan this year. But great.
Well, he won it with Bayern.
Well, you've had a good friendship for many years with Kevin De Bruyne, as I heard on an interview recently. He's after Axel Witsel. He's definitely my favorite player in the Belgian national team. And it's very hard not to like the Belgian national team. Because they really are an outstanding club. What's Kevin like? I mean, some anecdotes about him as a personality.
He was, when he arrived, obviously, you felt that he was like fighting for confidence a little bit because he got like just, I felt like he got shipped around quite often by Chelsea. So I think he had a great season at Werder Bremen the year before and then went back to Chelsea, did the pre-season and got basically told to go on loan or move somewhere else again. So that can hit your confidence a little bit. And when he arrived at Wolfsburg, you saw that he has great potential. And as soon as his confidence level went up, he was just unstoppable and unplayable.
Absolutely. And what a level he's playing at now. I mean, there isn't a title that isn't within their sight. They've won the Champions League and so on. And incredible, and also with Belgium, I think third place in the World Cup in Russia 2018.
Man City didn't win the Champions League, but
Chelsea won a few.
Well, yeah, but he wasn't playing that often, I think, when he was at Chelsea back then.
It's 1-1 in terms of football, but I'm sure you'll catch me again. Let's talk about Carrow Road. And I'm sitting here in Norwich at University of East Anglia, and it's really cool to talk to you. We were very blessed to have Mario Vrančić on the show here. Mario and also Christoph as well, Zimmermann. And let's talk about the mighty Canaries. I get the feeling that in this city, in Norwich, people really love the Canaries. Do you feel that as well? There's a special, magical relationship. I mean, after all, they've sold out almost the whole stadium. They've sold out in Dauerkarten and season tickets, like Dortmund. I mean, Dortmund has 80,000 and they sell 60,000 Dauerkarten season tickets. I mean, it's a pretty amazing kind of rapport, isn't it, between the Carrow Road faithful and the football club.
I mean, the fan base in Norwich is amazing. It's just, even if you have away games, the amount of supporters you will see in the stadium is just something that I think is extraordinary for a club that bounces between Premier League and Championship all the time, between like success and failure. And it's sometimes very hard for the fans. I get that. I mean, I'm a football player and I feel it too. So, I can feel a little bit with the fans. But as I said, the support has been, like in my 5 years, has been amazing on and off the pitch. Even if you walk through the city and the people are always nice to you, they never give you a hard time. Obviously, if we would have lost the derby, I don't know if that would have changed anything, but yeah, normally they well, no, not normally, all the time. I think they were amazing.
Let's talk about that derby then. 2018, I was watching some of those videos. I mean, as I said to you before the show, it was like when you scored that goal in the 95th minute, it was literally like, I guess, you know, scoring Mario Götze scoring the 2014 World Cup winning goal for Germany. I mean, the reaction of the of the Norwich City fans and the way you celebrated. I mean, I'm sure that is something which you'll remember till the last day, your last breath of your life.
Yeah, 100%. That was very electric, obviously. I wouldn't compare it to Mario Götze's World Cup winner because I think that's something else, I would say. But yeah, it was great, especially because we didn't lose the game. I think that was the most important thing. And we were struggling that season anyway because that was the first season when Daniel Farke came in and you know, we had to adapt to his way of playing football. So it was like a transition period. That's why the fans were always looking forward to those derby days. And that gave them something. And it was just a great memory for us all, I think.
Absolutely incredible. And I remember from 2016-17, there was that amazing black kit with the... It had like a white and purple line on it. Do you remember that kit? The away kit?
Yeah. I know which one.
I mean, honestly, without wanting to be a bit of a controversial, I mean, surely that's got to be one of the biggest kit mistakes. Which kits do you actually keep from your career? Because like every football fan, I collect football shirts.
I always keep the first one I wear. Always from the first game I play for a new club. And then if I know someone from another club who I play with, or I just know him very well from playing against him a few times, then I try to collect or swap the shirts. But normally I'm not a big collector of shirts because mostly I just give them away to someone.
Very nice, very nice. And the Switzerland kit is pretty cool as well, I have to say, the red one. I've always liked that one.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I like it.
You're a Swiss international yourself, and how does it feel to play for the Nati, as they say, the national team, which also has fantastic fans as well? I've seen them in the European Championship and last. And I also went to watch the opening game of the '96 European Championship, and I saw Switzerland versus England 1-1. And
yeah,
I can't believe who was standing next to me. It was Campino of Totenhausen.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So yeah, he's, like to speak German,
he's quite often in Switzerland, actually.
Yeah.
It's funny, yeah. No, I mean, it's a great experience, obviously, to play for your national team. I was lucky to go out and represent my, Switzerland or my national team like 20 times, I think, if you take the three from the Olympics into that account. But I could have had more, obviously, but I was a bit unlucky there as well with situations. But I mean, every time I went there, it felt like a very proud moment, not only for me, for my family, and obviously for all the friends around me. That's why if I look back and if I even like could make it one more time, that would be great. But I had a great time in the national team always, and look back with great joy and just humbled to be able to play for them.
I saw that you also played against England and you had a friendly against Brazil with the national team. Which one of those is more special for you?
Well, we lost the England game and drew the Brazilian game, so I don't know. It's a hard one to pick, actually. It was a bit special. The English one was special because it was obviously at Wembley, and I think Rooney scored his 50th goal for the national team, so that was like a big thing for him. So when he took that penalty, I saw only phones everywhere. You see, like, only the phones with that little bit of like lightning So yeah, it was weird, but yeah, the flashlights were out. But it was good. It was a good experience. I mean, as I said, it's always different. There is always a difference between club level and international level. But to take that into my like portfolio, I would say is just a great thing.
Nature of things, if you can call it that. 2018-19 Campioni champions with Norwich City, obviously a very huge title. Some wonderful photographs of you guys there. And Zimbo had a great season as well. And some outstanding players. And from Dortmund's perspective, now you may be surprised to see me asking this, but Felix Paslak, the mighty but small Felix Paslak, what a cool guy. He didn't play that much, but I know for Christoph certainly it was a very huge thing to be playing alongside Felix Paslak. Other guys, obviously, that I would talk about, Timo Pukki and also Emi Buendia and so on. Basically you played alongside some really, really great guys.
I think Moritz Leitner was one of you guys as well. Huh? I think he played for Dortmund.
Absolutely. Mario Vrančić also played for
I mean, yeah, we had a great team. I think what they did well was they brought in players who did fit very well into the system Daniel wanted to play. So when we went out, we did not have some new records for the club as well, which was amazing, obviously. And we didn't do it with like the most, I don't know, outstanding players. We just had like great working, hard working football players who knew exactly what it needs or what it needed to be done to get that promotion.
What's the Daniel Farke factor? Obviously, he's a former coach of Borussia Dortmund 2, who I met once at the match of Borussia Mönchengladbach 2 against Dortmund 2. You had something of a canary in Vogel, kind of German-speaking group of guys there, from Onelt Hernandez all the way through to, as you say, Moritz Leitner and Christoph Zimmermann and Felix Paslak and so on. At one point, there were 11 German-speaking guys. Pretty cool in a way. And those Canadian...
But we were never allowed to speak German in the dressing room.
You never allowed to speak German?
Nah. Daniel said to us that we were not allowed to speak German because we're in the UK now, so we have to adapt to it. I think Daniel was just great as a manager. I think it was the right decision to bring him in because he was hungry for success and you felt it. I mean, he knew the players. He knew the players from like having them as players at Dortmund, or he knew me from my time in Germany. So I think what he did well was bringing everyone together and like making sure that we're like big pack of wolves who fight for each other. And I think even the football he tried to play, he always said like, I want to play my way and I don't want to get away of that. And even if you make mistakes, then it's my fault and it's not your fault because I'm asking you to play like this. And I think he gave everyone the confidence to go out and be the best version of himself. And that, I think that's why we were so successful in the end.
Amazing. What would you say, apart from that wonderful 95th minute winner at Ipswich, was the highlight in terms of the game? I know you had your debut goal against Newcastle United, which was your first debut was against Tottenham Hotspurs. Your first goal was against the Magpies. But what was your real highlight? I remember there was a 7-1, I think, against Reading, which was kind of pretty cool.
At Norwich, we had a lot of highlights. I mean, if you take the cup games as well, where we're fighting against Chelsea and it was close, and even Arsenal, and I think we just had a really good time. We had games where we looked so comfortable, and I was never ever scared to lose a game. Even even when we were like 3-0 down, it was only 10 minutes to go. We had a game where we came back into it. And you always had that feeling of we're not going to lose the game today every time you stepped on that pitch. And I think that was one of the advantages we had as a team, because every time whoever was on the pitch, everyone had that same spirit of we're not going to lose the game today. So we just go out, do our thing and win the game.
But Daniel Farke is now the new coach at Borussia Mönchengladbach. It's difficult for you to comment on other teams, but I wrote an article recently, because I do quite a lot of journalism about Bundesliga for the last 5 years. And what do you feel about the chances of Farke to actually do a very good job with Gladbach?
Again, if you give him time, I think he will do an amazing job. If you think that he will, you know, come in and just changes everything, and all of a sudden they will play unbelievable football, exactly how he was thinking about it, and then all of a sudden they are second or first in the league. I think that's not going to happen. That didn't happen for us when he arrived. I think you need time to adapt to his way of football. But as soon as everything clicks,
I'd just like to come on to the last kind of bit of the show, which is to talk about your move to Bristol City. How could I not talk about the Robins? A pretty cult club as well, with a very long history. And of course, you're working with a really exciting manager, which is Nigel Pearson, who has a lot of Premier League experience, for example, with Leicester City. And I've always thought he's kind of pretty underrated, to be honest. He seems to me to be one of the most impressive English coaches who's kind of stood the stead of time, and you know, he's worked with some top clubs and so on. But tell me, Bristol is a beautiful city. I've heard that you're enjoying being there from some of your previous interviews. And what does it feel like to be with Robins and working with Nigel Pearson as well? Were you aware of him as a coach before you moved?
Yeah, I knew him before, obviously. I played against him when he was at Watford as well. So I knew him. And when we had the first chat, when he wanted me to join Bristol, I think he was very honest, very open about it. He said, like, listen, come over, train with us for a few days. If you like it, you can stay. If you don't like it, you can go and you can leave again. So I quite like that, if someone is really open with me and honest. Obviously, that's the most important thing. And that's what he is. He will demand quite a bit of you, and he has his way of playing football. And if you follow that way, you will be successful, not only as a football player, I think as a team as well, because his idea of football is very, very simple. And it's true, football is a simple game. You don't need to complicate it. And that's why I think he's a great manager. He will bring the best out of you. He will try to bring the best out of you. He's still sometimes a bit old school, which makes it hard at times. But in the same sentence, I would say he's always also very, friendly towards the players. And he always looks after the players. So the empathy side of his like coaching bit is just as big as the demanding bit of it. So I think it's just a great balance when you look at him, and that's why I really love to, or that's why I'm enjoying playing for Bristol at the moment, yeah.
It's exciting. Finally, I guess I have to ask you this question. Who do you think will win the title in the Bundesliga? Who will win the title in Premier League? And why not, let's ask who's going to win the Champions League as well.
So it depends. In Germany, I would say Bayern will be up there again, just because I think that the transfer market so far was not too bad. I think Dortmund will be up there again, but they need to be more consistent. I think that was one of the big struggling points last year, where I thought, maybe they could go back to, you know, fighting for that, like for the Bundesliga and fighting against Bayern again. But unfortunately, they lost some points where I never thought they're going to lose points. So if they can manage to grind those results, I think they will be up there again. But it will be interesting to see who can get close to Bayern Munich. I think that's just a non plus ultra at the moment in Germany. So that's why I have to go with Bayern. In the Premier League, I'm not sure, actually. I do feel we will have a surprise this year. Obviously, we'll find Liverpool and Man City up there again. But for some reason, I have the feeling that Manchester United and Arsenal will be very close to them this year, closer than what we all expect. But still, I think in the end, it will be, I would say, it will be this time Liverpool, just because, I think they will be stronger this year than City. But you never know. I mean, they're both just amazing teams. I mean, the players they have. And the Champions League. Oh, my goodness. The Champions League. I would go for Man City. I'm thinking about like how surprisingly good Barcelona was towards the end of the season and how strong their football was with Xavi obviously being back and all the young players. So if they can keep that group together for a bit, maybe not this year, but maybe the next season, I think they will be a very, very good side again and they will compete for that Champions League win again. But yeah, this year I have to go, maybe PSG. Nah, I'm going to go for Man City. Nah, Man City is going to do it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And I guess the only last thing to ask you is, did you enjoy seeing the Eintracht lifting the Europa League? I mean, I know that you're an Eintracht fan, so it should be pretty cool for you, I guess.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, it was really great. I was watching the game at home in constant, like, connection with my dad who was watching the game, I think from, I don't know where he was, but yeah, we were like constant texting each other, like going like absolutely crazy about everything. And then afterwards I was calling my aunt, my uncle who still live in Frankfurt, and they were all buzzing obviously, and the whole city was on the streets, and it was just great to see them lift that poker, that Europa League cup. So here we go.
Absolutely. Tim Klose, it's been absolutely great speaking with you. Very insightful, very interesting. We covered a lot of territory in a short space of time. I hope it was a lot of fun for you too. I wish you every success in your training camp in Austria. And maybe I'll come and watch the Mighty Robins sometime down at Ashton Gate and get to meet you. But all the best to you. Thank you so much. Okay. If the fans want to find you somewhere on Twitter or social media.
I'm not on Twitter. I don't like Twitter at all. I think, I don't like the platform, Twitter. I think it's a platform for negativity. That's why I've never been on Twitter. I went on there and then I left it straight afterward. Like after 2 weeks, I thought like, it's crazy. But I am on Instagram, yes, and on Facebook. But yeah, I try to get away a little bit more often from social media nowadays.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I personally am not on Twitter either. And I also find it pretty toxic. And there's nothing quite so special as actually meeting the players, talking to them directly. And you know what? I'm going to give this to you at the end of the show. Kevin De Bruyne was actually on the losing Manchester City team when Chelsea won it in 2020, so don't ever say I'm not an honest guy. Thanks a lot. Have a great training session. Thanks for the chat.
Thank you very much. Have a good afternoon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.